Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I am your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 12th on the West Coast, now January the 13th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We would also like to welcome all the Wind Talkers radio network around the world tuning into the show tonight. And we appreciate you helping us get the word out around the world. Well, here we are now. We're entering day six of this episode that is occurring in Tucson, Arizona, the assassination of a chief federal district court judge, John Roll, and the attempted assassination of Congresswoman, Democrat from Arizona, Gabrielle Giffords, who is reported to be recuperating. I understand she's still in critical condition, and she was in a medically induced coma, but we got to hear the short-legged, or the no-legged Mac Daddy, actually tell the world that she opened his eyes as he was leaving the door. And I wonder if she didn't open them because she was glad he was leaving and wanted to make sure he was gone. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight. What is disturbing about this visit to Arizona from people I've talked to? I did not watch any of these proceedings. I think they're disgusting and they're political and they're intended to make somebody look good when they're falling flat on their face. Whether you want to talk about the economy or a country that's being overrun by communist, fascist, Zionist propaganda and the methodology to destroy the country, I don't take that lightly, and I don't think my listening audience does, save those that are listening in on the black-booted side of the intelligence agencies. There are white hats that listen to this show as well. Hopefully, everyone's going to hear some truth tonight. And I heard that the event of appearing there to pay the respects to the fallen turned out more to be a pep rally. I didn't see it, so I can't really comment on it a whole lot. It's another chapter or another episode in the life of the guy that I think we should call Smooth.
Forget about it. let's forget about it.
That's Carlos Santana and Smooth, and I dedicated that to the man that Reverend James David Manning called the long-legged Mac Daddy. And after a while, I had to start calling him the short-legged Mac Daddy when I saw him with no shoes on, standing next to a little girl. He wasn't that tall. And then when his House of Representatives got turned upside down in the last election, last November, I began calling him the bow-legged Mac Daddy. And based on all the vacations and the amount of money that's just doled out to his chums in the corporate banking world, pharmaceutical companies, oil companies, all the corruption that's going on, I can only call him the no-legged Mac Daddy. And that's why I think he's smooth. Rough around the edges, but smooth. Well, with that, I'm going to bring on tonight's guest, and hopefully you got the meaning of those lyrics, you know, because you could take that as a love song or you could take it as a hate song. It's up to you. I just played it. Tonight's guest is an environmental scientist. He's an herbalist. He's a historian. And he's a musician. And he's frequently a guest on Evident Footprints, and I'm glad and proud to have him back. He's our good friend, Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to the show. Hello, Michael. Are you with us?
Yes, sir, Don. I, for some reason, we had a drop out there, pal, and so I'm sorry I didn't hear you cue me in, but I do hear you now, and it's great to be back, and thanks for inviting me back, Don.
Okay. You did get to hear the music, right?
I did hear the tune. It's a good tune.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure you were getting audio. Okay. What's your take on this thing going on in Tucson? Of course, the mainstream media is all over it, so we got to turn 180 degrees to find the truth. But I'd like to hear your perceptions on what you've seen so far.
Well, Don, so far my impression of this is that it looks like it was an inside job set up. Apparently, this congresswoman, though a Democrat, was very American in her voting, pro-American Constitution. She wasn't really going along with the globalist agenda in Washington, D.C. clearly was not liked by the Democratic Party there. And so it seems that they were trying to send a message to her and also the federal judge as well that was shot and apparently killed. And that federal judge was a appointee by Slick Willie years back during his administration. So he must have been he was playing ball with him for a while with the globalist agenda. But something changed, apparently. And he was also voting in favor of the Constitution and what was right and just in court. And so they went after him as well. Now, that's the obvious stuff. But along with this, what seems to be apparent is that they're going to they're using this as a distraction, Don, a distraction so the American people forget about the very depressed economy, the jobs, the decent paying middle class jobs not coming back, no sign of them coming back. All of the hope and change from Obama is clearly just a dream. And so they want to distract the Americans as the economy's tanking. Clearly, we're stepping into a full-blown depression, as well as apparently with the new Congress coming in, there were impeachment proceedings being implemented against Obama, specifically regarding his lack of a birth certificate, a legal birth certificate. And so it looks like they're using this. This timing is perfect to get the people off track from the real issues of what the traitors in Washington, D.C. are perpetrating against the United States and the American people with their globalist agenda and their anti-American activity internally here. And so it looks like there was impeachment proceedings being implemented. And so the timing is perfect to sidetrack that, to derail that, so Obama doesn't get more exposure regarding his illegitimacy, being a president of the United States since he's not a natural-born citizen. As well as, Don, I don't think this has been in the news, but the Congress has already just voted to finance further the Iraq and Afghanistan war, which is going on longer than the Vietnam War, which is something the American people are forgetting, that we're caught up again in foreign wars that are even longer than the Vietnam War, but they're going on exactly like the Vietnam War, where we just have no business being in foreign countries, and obviously they're not there, as our military isn't there, to protect our freedoms. They're there to advance the United Nations globalist agenda of subverting these countries that are not participating in the central banking scheme that the Rockefellers and the Schwarzschilds, along with Goldman Sachs, Warburgs, et cetera, the same old culprits running the private Federal Reserve Bank, as well as all other central banks in the world. And these other countries are not participating in that. And so that's really why we're there militarily, as well as helping China get access to more oil and resources as well. Isn't it nice how our traitors and our government are building up a communist country to be a very major military threat against us? And so these are the real issues going on. Of course, we're in a very depressed economy. American people are really on the edge now of trying to make ends meet. And of course, our taxes are constantly going up. And now the traitors in Washington, D.C. Advance more financing to support these foreign war conflicts, which also, by the way, are illegal wars in the sense that by law, in our country, if the Congress wants us to go to war, they have to declare war. And that's how it was up to World War II, before the American people could be rallied financially as well as physically into the army, into the services, into the armed services. And so obviously they're not declaring wars in Iraq or Afghanistan. They're just financing them. And the U.S. taxpayer is going to be drained from their pockets to finance all this activity where it's all illegal. So I see this as being a really excellent distraction on their part again, so that the American people do not remain focused on these real important issues.
Oh, yeah. And they're, you know, it's, if I can say so, they're going to try to use this again as gun control, or pretext for demanding gun control.
Yes.
And they're this is what's ridiculous about the mainstream media. After about 48 hours of nonstop reporting on this, and you have to ask yourself, why are they doing that? Well, they're trying to drill it into the subconscious of all their viewers, all their listeners, whether it's on mainstream TV, radio, newspapers, magazines, and whatever other way they can do it in public forums, to keep drilling these lies. Now, I can tell you that we're not given the full story on who the shooter is, and we're not given the facts behind the fact that he is mind controlled. This is an MK Ultra operation. There is absolutely no doubt about it.
I agree.
Okay, and I'm not. You and I are not alone in that. Every talk show talk show host that I know that is worth his or her weight in salt has seen that too. And the guests that they're having on their show are bringing that information forward. Plus, there have been some mind control victims that have come forward and described exactly how a person looks when they're mind controlled. And you can see that in the mugshot that they've enlarged for the front page of the New York Times, that they put up in triplicate on mainstream media. Their intent is to cause these images to sink into everybody's conscience. You have to be afraid. You have to fear these guys. And what people need to understand is this is done intentionally. They're creating mindless, robotic people who are programmed, split personalities, who are then provoked into committing these acts. And they use drugs, they use hypnosis, they use torture, and they use implants and all kinds of technology to make to force the individual to commit these acts. They're not even aware that they're doing this. I can tell you that what we're being told about the school history of this individual is that nothing but a pack of lies. Again, the mainstream media is broadcasting this. You turn 180 degrees, and you move in the direction of the truth at all times.
That's right, John. Absolutely.
And there's no exceptions. This is not some event all of a sudden that the media is telling us the truth. They never have told us the truth, and they're not about to start right now.
They can't tell us the truth.
Yeah. Yes. Now, some of what you're alluding to, too, is the disclosure that there are over 700 bank accounts that have been tracked on from multiple sources. They've been tracked through the Vatican Bank. And senators and the congressmen and women in Washington have many of these accounts. There were others, staffers, and even these Supreme Court justices. The Secretary of the U.S. Treasury, Timothy Geithner, has over $1 billion in his account, and so does Chief Justice John Roberts, the man who they were saying said, that's not true. You remember when Obama was giving that speech in the House and the justices were sitting
yes.
up front? You remember he mouthed the words, that's not true, or that's simply not true, I think is what he said.
Yes.
Okay.
Or lie? What did he say? Liar?
No, that was one of the Republicans.
That was that's
came right.
That was
and yelled liar.
There you go. That's what I'm thinking.
And
of.
Then they forced him to apologize. Why? For telling the
yeah.
truth.
You're not allowed to tell the truth in Washington D.C., Don.
Yeah. So now we're talking about billions and billions of dollars that are in these secret bank accounts. Well, they're not secret anymore. They've been tracked. Mm-hmm. They've been traced, okay? And they know the amounts of these accounts. Now, we share this with the listening audience. We wouldn't tell you this, folks, if this was not true, if we couldn't back this up. This has been traced by multiple entities that are looking at the corruption that's going on. The Prosperity and the Freedom Funds have been hijacked for years now. This has been going on. I've talked about this until I'm blue in the face, Michael, and you know that. We've talked about this together.
And, absolutely, Don.
And they're constantly trying to crack into the those Prosperity and Freedom Fund accounts, and their interest is just stealing the money. And you have this no-legged Mac Daddy telling the world, I'm God, I'm the ruler of the world. The average person out there doesn't have a clue that this is going on.
Mm-hmm.
But he shows up in Tucson where you just had a mass murder, an MK Ultra psyops just occurred, and innocent people were murdered for no reason at all. One, a 9-year-old girl whose birthday is 9/11/2001. And the shooter's birthday is September 10th,
mm-hmm.
the day before that. Tell me there's not any satanic symbology in that.
Okay. You know, one for sure, just an observation of this shooter's background, and you clearly see the MK Ultra. I mean, he fits the MO perfectly. There may have been another shooter involved because of the number of shots and damage inflicted. And this guy was just an amateur, apparently, you know, not really an expert with a gun. So it's suspicious that there may have been another shooter. Now, interestingly, Don, usually the MK Ultra victims commit suicide after they inflict their damage so that there's no trace. There can't be any interrogation. Fortunately, didn't happen to this guy. And hopefully honest people will be able to interview this guy and get more facts out to us regarding this guy's background.
Mm-hmm. Now, there were numerous reports. You mentioned a second shooter, or it was alluded to by the Pima County Sheriff that there was a second person, and he wasn't going to talk about specifics. He wasn't going to give out the name of the shooter. And then CNN flashes it up on the corner of the screen. Well, after he said it four times, I'm not ready to reveal that name. It was as if they said, well, you know, screw you. We're going to put it up on the screen anyway. You see, somebody said, you have to get that message out. I can tell you definitively this guy is not 22 years old. Okay? And I can tell you that there is a web of other Manchurian candidates associated with this individual.
Yes, sir. But they have admitted an additional shooter then, Don.
Well, they were describing the person in the beginning as a possible accomplice, and then they said that this person ran away. Now, after that, some reports leaked out from people who were there witnessing the events mm-hmm. that this second person was taking video shots of the whole event. Because this is the MO of the Chicago organized crime group that operates on this. If you've ever listened to David Hawkins and Field McConnell, who were on this show, we talked about this after the Buffalo plane shootings, and we talked about what happened on 9/11 and the fact that they take out secret insurance policies on intended victims and clean up. Well, why does an insurance company go belly up? Because they've taken all the money. They've emptied the accounts of that holding company.
Yeah, that insurance company has to be in the upper management levels, one of their guys, because, of course, otherwise an insurance company is going to have to conduct investigations before they shell out the money, and they're going to realize it just doesn't seem like it's a legitimate incident and it was staged, and therefore they're going to hold back the money. So if insurance companies are shelling it out, then you know that they're taken over by the same insiders, and they're just racketeering as usual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, so who's the insurance company? It'll end up being AIG or Prudential or one of those companies that are in bed with the international Zionist money machine.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go back to before the 1940s. You can really go back to 10 years prior to the Federal Reserve and see all of this being set up. These are the same tactics that they used prior to World War I. There was an assassination.
That's correct.
Of a cousin of Franz Joseph I.
And Ferdinand, wasn't it?
Yes. That started the whole ball of wax that's still going on today.
That's correct.
In the area that was formerly called Yugoslavia, Croatia, Serbia, Bosnia, that area. Mm-hmm. And who was that? That was Austria-Hungary that was involved in that. Few people right. know that Franz Joseph I's brother was a king in Mexico.
That's true, Don. Yes, that's very true.
Okay, now what?
And that is not well known. Absolutely.
Yeah. So this is an agenda. You see, these countries here and this in the Western Hemisphere have been infiltrated for hundreds of years.
Yes.
First, under the pretext of immigration or emigration from a country for a better life. That's how you sell the people that are living in the country. Tell that to the indigenous people that were slaughtered when they first came here.
Well, you know, I mean, there's a legitimacy to that, of course. I mean, a lot of the Europeans were fleeing a lot of religious persecution. They did have the Inquisition in there with the Catholic Church. And so between religious and political persecutions, that was a motivating factor for a lot of people to come here, for sure. But of course, the higher ups, the monarchs, and the financiers, the money masters there in Europe, the Zionist bankers, they're going to exploit everything. You know, they need people coming over here to colonize, to survey and to establish settlements here, and then they have their agents mingled in with these people, and they will look for methods and opportunities to exploit every situation for their money masters over there in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Now, I can tell you these mind control programs, when someone says MK Ultra, it's difficult for people to get a grasp of who this is. Is this somebody hiding under a rock or a hole in the ground, or are they behind a tree, or are they up in the tree, or... if you get my point, these are groups that are orchestrated out of the various branches of the military.
Well, you know, Don, according to TSA, I mean, they could even be in your shorts now. So we got to look very closely. You know, they like to hide in bushes. We got to remember that.
Especially in San Francisco. So, well, and this can be proven, and this will be proven in this case, that this is tied to the military. This was a military operation, but more than that, let's say military intelligence.
Yes, it's clandestine. Absolutely.
Okay. Military intelligence. And let me tell you, there are footprints, evident footprints all over the place.
Yes, there are.
Okay.
Yes, so sir.
That
absolutely.
That easily could be a 3-hour show going through all of that. So we won't do that tonight, but I can guarantee you, and some others can guarantee you, but pretty much anybody that has studied this just for 2 or 3 years has been exposed to the methodology of what's going on, the evil, the Satanism, and the murder that goes along with it on
That's right.
both sides.
Absolutely, Don. And like you just highlighted, Don, because this is the main method of operation. It's a military-industrial complex. And it really was firmly established here after World War II when they secretly brought in a lot of Nazis. And everybody needs to just do a wake-up call, do a Google, and type in swastika building at U.S. Navy base and just check it out for yourself. If you haven't seen it still, it's right there in our face, a huge swastika building with a satellite top-down view. You can see the image. It's a perfect swastika, very large building, and it's our U.S. Navy base off Coronado, or at Coronado, off San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And so there you have the verification of what we're saying here, that they really solidified this military-industrial complex here when they secretly brought these Nazis in under Operation Paperclip. And it was way more extensive than I was really aware of, and I knew it was very deep, of course. Don, we've covered it many times, but Joseph P. Farrell's books on his works on the Nazis and the SS and very advanced technologies, but also how they really brought him over here. And it's stunning. LBJ, J. Edgar Hoover, along with the Dulles brothers.
Mm-hmm.
But LBJ as a senator, along with the FBI director, J. Edgar Hoover, very involved with these Nazis coming in here and keeping it quiet and setting them up.
Yes, yes. And you know, there have been some great books written along these lines. I'm reading for the second time Matrix 3. It was, I think I read it back in 93 or 94, before things ratcheted up to, you know, let's say prior to Monica Lewinsky in the White House, a few years before that. And it's a very well-written book by Valdemar Valerian. Okay, he's written on ufology, spirituality, metaphysics. Of course, that's a pen name, but it's very well written. And when I look at the things that I brought out in my SHRF piece, where I identify George H.W. Bush as a SHRF from Nazi Germany and a very close associate with Dr. Joseph Mengele and Martin Bormann, Reinhard Galen, and
Ehrlichman,
and Otto Skorzeny. Well, there were others too. They
sure.
They were involved because the family was involved with the merging of through the work of George Herbert Walker with the Brown Brothers Harriman and some of the other New York banks. When they formed the Union Banking Corporation in New York City. Now, for a lot of people, this is repetition. I did a show on We Have Short Memories last night, and I reminded people that we forget these things. We put them on the back seat and cover them up with a blanket and forget that we just went through these things a few years ago. But in terms of Bush, and this is Alan Dulles and John Foster Dulles, In my Circuit Chautauqua portion of that SHRF piece that I wrote, and that's on my website, directlightproductions.com, in the article section, Deathbed Confessions is how it starts off. I wrote about Circuit Chautauqua, and I went back and read through the card file, and would you know that John Foster Dulles was part of that touring social program that went around the country? It was actually a Nazi program is what it was.
Well, there you go, Don.
Okay.
You see,
and mm-hmm. I was going to add a couple more names on there. I found some aliases for a much younger Otto Skorzeny, and then after he came to the United States, they gave him a new alias, and Lord Randolph Churchill was there. Now, if anyone doesn't know who that was the father of Winston Churchill. So we were infiltrated by all these characters. Why would that individual be there? Why would the one of the Dulles brothers be there? And then you have the formation of the CIA out of the old OSS, and which you just mentioned, Operation Paperclip. They set all this up. They set up their infrastructure around the nation. Oklahoma, Kansas, Iowa were really big places, but they turned Texas into a Nazi, fascist, communist territory.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time Eisenhower came on the scene, we were supporting the Russians at the outset of World War II completely from top to bottom. And they were infiltrating the country as spies.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
We've been through this on other shows, but it's worth mentioning because
you have to.
What the group we have now is the culmination of all of that.
That's correct.
Using the same tactics. And when you start going into these lists of Manchurian candidates, you find the people attached to real estate. They're moving these people around from place to place in the country to perform false flag events and for further programming or for recruiting or more sadistic activities that are planned out. Training, if you want to call it that.
Yes, that's right, Don. And, you know, in addition, like, for example, when they created the CIA out of the OSS, Okay, so we're figuring, okay, they brought over a lot of Nazis, and Gellens, who was the head of the SS intelligence, he had a vast, vast spy network, the Gellenwerk, and for the Nazis. And he was the spy master. When we think of CIA today, we think of undercover agents, you know, guys looking like regular civilians doing their intelligence work. Well, they got all that from the Nazis. And as it turns out, the CIA is technically the Gellenorg just reestablished here. That's what's real stunning. Used to consider with Operation Paperclip, we were just recruiting the Nazis before the commies could get them because of the advanced technologies that the Nazis had, which is still secret to this day. A lot of that technology is very secret to this day. And that's what's great with reading Joseph P. Farrell's works and Henry Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
As well as some others, but those two primarily, they're very in depth.
Now,
but
Galen, if I can say this, Galen was also a double agent and was giving information to the Soviets too.
That's right. And as it turns out, Don, the terms for the Nazis when they brought them over here, it wasn't that they were under our total control. With the Dulles brothers, they negotiated along with the higher ups in the shadow government that has been controlling our government. Definitely since World War One, and they actually made terms with the Nazis that they were kind of freelance agents, meaning that the Nazis were not totally dissolved. They were allowed to remain intact. In fact, some of the terms were that they'd be working for the Americans, but once the new German government was reset up after World War II, they would work primarily for them again. And so any time subsequent to that event conflicts may arise with intelligence as to whose interest does it concern the most, would it be Germany or the United States, they would side with Germany. And so they created the Cold War, which was another facade, because like you just said, Don, and it's been covered many times in the past, we were building up the commies the whole time, just like we still are to this day with Red China. We built them up from nothing. 20 years ago, they were no threat to us at all. And now they're so powerful, they're a serious threat to us, very serious threat, just like Germany was in the 40s, late 30s going into the 40s.
Mm-hmm. Now, this group right now is primarily operating their infrastructure and their ideology is being taught and implicated in Chicago. Now, not exclusively Chicago, because they set up originally in two places, but I'm going to say San Francisco first, when Charles Reed Bishop came from Hawaii after the princess he married died. He stole a lot of money from the royal family and started his real estate ventures in Southern California. He was in San Francisco, Oakland, Berkeley, and for a time they worked their way up into the Santa Rosa area and, of course, Bohemian Grove and all that area. And then they moved to the south in more recent times. They went to San Bernardino, Riverside, all throughout Orange County, Santa Ana, Tustin, Mission Hills, Mission Viejo, Laguna Hills, Laguna Niguel, San Diego, which you already mentioned, that area. And that's the American Illuminati stronghold for the Satanists there. However, they simultaneously were operating out of Oklahoma City, and when they brought Admiral Wilhelm Canaris here, they sent him from Oklahoma City to Oklahoma Baptist University in Shawnee, Oklahoma, and he was teaching law at the Oklahoma Baptist University. Can you imagine that? The head of the Abwehr. He got sick in 76, from about 1976 through 78. I'm told Henry Kissinger ran the Dachau DVD in Germany, and then it was assigned to George H.W. Bush, a.k.a. George H. Scherf, Jr., and possibly Walter Scherf. There's a Walter Scherf tried at Dachau with Otto Skorzeny. And they were all found not guilty. Okay?
Yeah.
This is a new finding. And he was called Hauptmann Walter, or Walter sheriff. So the HW very likely could stand for Hauptmann Walter.
And the reason why they were all found not guilty was because that's around the time frame when the negotiations were in place to bring them all over here so they can continue with their Nazi agenda.
Of course.
And that's right. And of course they were all guilty, but the representative for the United States over there, overseeing all activities there for the Allies, he gave permission to keep them all innocent and smuggle them back over into this country.
Mm-hmm.
And again, all anyone has to do is look at that swastika building at U.S. Navy base, and they'll see it. It's all real. We have it here right now in our own backyard, in our own Navy base. The Nazis are well established.
Yes. Now, they brought the Austria-Hungary version of them with the Eisenhower clan, who set up in Denison and Sherman, Texas. And I wrote about that in my Eisenhower research. Teenage Mutant Ninja Eisenhowers and Teenage Mutant Ninja birth certificates. Those two big articles have the documentation showing the interaction between that group in Texas, Lyndon Johnson, James Forrestal, members of the Veterans Administration. They were setting up phony identities of soldiers to be killed to collect the benefits. This is the thievery that was going on beginning around 1942. It cost James Forrestal his life. By the way, when you read The Matrix 3, it discloses the fact that Forrestal was not murdered by jumping out a window at the Bethesda Naval Medical Center. He was taken to Jupiter Island, Florida.
Really?
And murdered there, yes.
Now, and then brought back to the hospital and thrown out the window?
Who? I don't know. I don't know what method they used, but that's pretty interesting there, because those that set up all this secret infrastructure were camping out there. And the Bushes had property there, too. Everyone just thinks of Kennebunkport.
You got it, pal. Now, Jupiter Island, how many people have heard of Jupiter Island or Florida, right? Not many. And there's Jupiter, Florida itself, I believe, but there's a Jupiter Island. Now, I'm glad you mentioned this, because a lot of people are not aware of that, and that you said that the Bushes have property there. Now, get a load of this. The unauthorized biography of George H.W. Bush.
By Webster Lyndon, Harpley.
This was Lyndon LaRouche.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And there was a photograph in that book, because this is what I remember the most. And this is just before when I think Bush was vice president, and he threw Lyndon LaRouche right in jail when he became president over this book. And there was a photograph, which I'll always remember, and I wish I had a copy of it, of George, old man, the old kraut, Pappy Bush, in his younger years, getting in a speedboat with Meyer Lansky.
Yeah, he's wearing a racing outfit.
You got it. Yeah. Like windbreaker type clothing.
Yeah.
And they're on their way to Jupiter Island.
Yes, that's true. That's a true story. Yes. And that's his connection to Cuba and the Bay of Pigs.
Yes.
As well.
And everything else, Meyer Lansky being a major Jewish mobster.
Yes.
Major. He was Hyman Roth in the Godfather movies.
Yes.
He played that Hyman Roth character was Meyer Lansky in real life.
They couldn't find anybody that resembled George H.W. Bush, and they didn't want him on the set, so they created the Michael Corleone figure. You know.
Yeah, I think they were really portraying the Gambino family.
I'm sort of.
Yeah, I know you're joking
about it. Enjoy your cake, gentlemen.
That's right. That's right.
Then give me a nickel.
That's right. And yeah. And also, while I can just quickly toss this in, the last Godfather movie, I guess the third one, which was just okay, but it ties in the Vatican. the Banco Vatican, and going back to earlier in the show, Don, when you were mentioning that, and the Catholic Church is ultimately a bank, and people are stunned. I was just telling some people that recently talking about the Catholic Church, and they were talking in a religious perspective, and I said, don't you know it's a bank? And what do you mean it's a bank? I said, that's what it really is. It's Banco Vatican. And they have, they're a sovereign nation in Italy. Nobody can touch them. They have their own land, and they're a sovereign entity, a nation unto itself. And it's technically a big bank.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
And with all that wealth, you don't see him distributing it to the needy and the poor, do you?
No, no. God can touch him, though.
Yes, Don. That's right. And he will.
He will. And, you know, when you explain to people, especially Catholics, about the satanic worship and the programming, because you have all this Illuminati programming that going on, just like what we're talking about at the outset of the show, only it's not a military doing it, per
right.
se. Okay?
Right.
These
right.
are Satanists. And that group is controlled by two factions that were historical enemies, the Jesu Society, or otherwise known as the Jesuits, out of England, and Opus Dei, out of Spain.
Mm-hmm. And
following the precepts of Loyola.
That's right. And so maybe not a blatant military, however, they're clearly militant.
Well, the that's what the Crusades was about. And all the pillaging that went on, the Masons grew out of that group that said, hey, why are we doing all this work for the Pope? Why don't we just keep this money ourselves?
Well, that's right, Don. And there's a lot to that. There's, you know, of course, the Crusades was there was more to it than just exploiting wealth out of the Middle East. I mean, what wealth was there really back in those days as far as known wealth? It was not, you know, these were secrets. They were pursuing secrets that the church had acquired since it established itself from Peter's time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were rallying up crusades to go explore for them. And then sure enough, these noble knights, noble in the sense that they felt they were doing their duty to serve Christ. And even though they were being deceived and misled by the Catholic Church, and they caught on to that. Like you just mentioned, they caught on to that eventually and realized. And so there's more to it than just saying, hey, why don't we keep the wealth for themselves? Now, these guys also had secrets,
mm-hmm.
secrets that they knew the Catholic Church was going to keep to itself. And these men said, no, we have to use these secrets for ourselves and cultivate it into our culture in a controlled, disciplined manner. And that's why eventually they were pursued and wiped out, because they were becoming too powerful, not just financially, but with knowledge as well.
Yeah, and you're speaking of alchemical knowledge, and
exactly,
you know, you're talking about things that relate to the cradle of civilization.
That's right.
Egyptology.
And the real history of Jesus the Christ.
Yes. And yeah, exactly, because they had to hide those secrets from us.
That's correct.
And alter the story to suit their goals. And that's
of controlling us.
Yeah. And that's what everybody's been following, basically. That doesn't mean there's no truth in the Bible. It's just conveniently edited
to move
in a parallel path to their plans.
That's correct. They want to be the gatekeepers.
Yeah. Now, going back to what we were talking about, this infiltration of the country, this group that represents who we have in Washington right now also operated out of Seattle. At the time, they were implementing Operation Paperclip, and I mentioned Oklahoma City and the central and northern part of California. And that was related to Hawaii. That's where Hawaii comes into this, you see. It has nothing to do with this usurper being born there. He was not born there, and he was
right.
not born in Kenya.
Right.
Okay. The infrastructure was also taken up to Seattle, and they were working with a Chinese, communist Chinese element there.
Mm-hmm.
Little Red Chapel was where where they would congregate on the weekend.
Well, you know, geez, Don, yeah, it just triggers my memory when Slick Willie's administration, that communist, and let's recall when we
Slick Willie is Bill Clinton, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
And he, under his administration, he told our Navy to accept Red China's Navy fleet, some ships, and they landed in Seattle at a port there. And our Navy met them and were supposed to exchange our protocols, military protocols with them, which was, of course, high treason. And so, but there you have again, Seattle, Washington, where Red Chinese Navy ships dock under Slick Willie's administration. So that gets more interesting.
So now when you look at the companies that are up there, like Microsoft, for example, it's no accident that they're up there. You see, because this is all part of a communist data mining operation. And it had its roots in IBM.
Mm-hmm.
It sprung out of IBM. Okay.
Yes, IBM, major supporter of the Nazis and Hitler.
Yes.
The tabulating, like when you see concentration camp victims and you see tattoos, those tattoos were the digits for the IBM tabulating machine so the Nazis could keep statistics over all the concentration camp victims.
Mm-hmm. Then our nuclear program sprung out of that. That was influenced by those scientists that came over here, like Wernher von Braun. Of course, they did a shakedown of Victor Schauberger. I've covered that topic many times with Jim Murray on the show. And then they had an interest in space technology. The Germans already had craft.
That's correct.
Okay, and I have many of those photographs that you so graciously provided posted on my website.
Yes, sir.
My photos page. And those are real craft. You know, I had somebody once say, you know, the real large photo that shows the whole craft, and there's a German
truck
and a car parked there, and there's an officer with the knee-high boots, and he's standing at attention looking at the craft. And somebody said, oh, that's a scene from a movie. And I said, okay, tell me what movie it is.
Yeah, exactly. And as a movie buff, especially for that genre, I've seen them all, and I've never seen that shot in any of them.
None of those shots were in any movie.
That's right, Don.
Okay. So,
yeah, that's right, pal.
And you know, we've been through this ancient connection that goes all the way to Tibet, okay, and played a major role throughout World War II. And they never relinquished that. They brought all that information here. And it's been used, and it became part of the mind control program. Now,
and Don, if I can inject real quick, so hold your thought, but real quick, because when Wernher von Braun came over here, as it turns out, he was adamant that if he was coming over here, that his commander, General Dornberger, had to come too. And so they made terms to bring him over as well, and they did. Dornberger set up what is known as Bell Aerospace.
Yes.
That's his own company. And so there you have that. And, of course, that's all about space technology for outer space activity. And so that just confirms everything you just said. And also establishes more facts regarding how established the Nazis actually are over here.
Mm-hmm. Then you had the RAND Corporation writing the policy. And developing, probably with the cooperation of Bechtel. Bechtel is a major behind-the-scenes player in the nuclear program. You don't hear much about them.
That's right.
But they're behind this. And one of the specialties they have is cleaning up nuclear events.
Yes, sir, Don. And the reason why, because they learned how to do it over the years of experimenting during the Third Reich in Germany. As it turns out, most of those concentration camp victims were not gassed or anything. That's all Jewish hoax to advance their control over here by everybody always feeling sorry that, oh, the Holocaust. No, the Nazis needed these prisoners.
Well, let's say Zionist hoax, because
yes, that's right, the Zionist hoax, because the Nazis used, they went after the Jews, the common people that were just regular people that happened to be Jewish, which they went after them, that's for sure. However, when it came to the concentration camps, it looks like the real motive for that was because as they developed nuclear technology, they were discovering how lethal the radiation poisoning was, and they were losing scientists all over the place. So they needed expendables to do the cleanup work so they wouldn't keep losing the scientists. That's where the concentration camps come in.
Yeah, but they portray it as a totally different scenario, don't they?
Yes, they do. Because they have to keep it secret. They don't want us to know how advanced those Nazis were, even with nuclear technology, that they were so advanced with it. It's stunning. It's stunning how advanced those Nazis were. But that's why there was a major grab to get them over here secretly and let them continue.
Yes.
Because they are, as far as a productive people, extremely technically productive.
Now, right about the time that they started the CIA, they began the mind control experiments. A lot of that had was related to Montauk, but it was extended to SRI and it interfaced with Tavistock in England, and still is part of the Tavistock Institute for Human Studies, and was funded by several groups. It wasn't just funded by the Rockefellers. A lot of people think that they did the major funding. Actually, Brown Brothers Harriman was funding a lot of this stuff too.
Mm-hmm. And they're all just brother organizations sharing the load.
Yeah. Now, if we fast forward into what's going on today in Chicago, you if you recall the Weathermen Underground terrorist organization, Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers, and these are friends of the No-Legged Mac Daddy and the Mrs. Mm-hmm. No-Legged Mac Daddy.
That's right, Don, but shh, Don. Gotta keep that quiet.
and they became part of, you know, I had the name of the school because there's one of these schools down there in Tucson, okay? And they're teaching, we've got a number of our listeners that wanted us to bring this topic up because they're teaching this methodology to the kids down there in the Tucson area.
Mm-hmm.
And have been. And I can tell you that you can go back at least three generations and you'll find that they were teaching this very much similar to the Estes schools that I disclosed in my Three Stooges Go to Washington, where I revealed that Stanley Ann Dunham, the alleged but not mother of the No-Legged Mac Daddy, went to school there. She went to the Estes School in Oklahoma City. Technically, she went to War Acres. War Acres.
You gotta love that.
Yeah, and that's war with a double R. It's sort of a pun, isn't it?
Sure is. It's ironic.
The War family had a manufacturing company there, and they were probably one of the go-betweens, let's say, with Bernard Baruch and getting weapons out of Tinker Air Force Base, taking them up through Chicago, taking them across the Great Lakes, possibly into Canada, and then over to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fairly certain that's where the Dunham name came from a ship captain who ended up marrying the niece of the Princess Beatrice, Emma, Princess Emma from Hawaii. I was going to say Beatrice, but she married Captain John Dunham. And he was instrumental in deepening the harbor in Chicago, so that they could bring bigger ships in there.
Hmm.
Okay, I'll stand by this because everything points to that infrastructure as to a way that they could ship munitions out of there, possibly even airplanes. We were supporting the Soviet Union.
That's right.
From January 1st, 1942, under the Lend-Lease program, run out of Newark Airport to Great Falls, Montana, Maelstrom Air Force Base, it was first called Gore Field. I guess they didn't want people to think we had global warming back there, so they changed the name.
That's interesting, yes. So Gore was named after a Gore. Wow.
That route went up to Anchorage, Alaska, and and Fairbanks. Now, the Soviets were burying a lot of the munitions and spare parts in the snow alongside the fences, which ran parallel to the runways. And they were discovered eventually by the facilitator of this program, who was a civilian and brought in to run this whole thing. FDR gave away our nuclear secrets. He gave away plans to build nuclear facilities.
Absolutely.
He even gave away half of our enriched uranium, half of what we had here in the United States.
That's right, Don. And in fact, and the real facts are that we never even developed the A-bomb. The Oppenheimer, Fermi, the Zionist, Communist clique that FDR put together there for the Manhattan Project, it failed miserably. As the real facts are that they got it all from the Nazis. The Nazis, when they surrendered, they made the terms. They came over here. They secretly brought over all the technology. They learned how to really make fissionable uranium. and a very special fuse in order to set off an A-bomb. It required at the time a very advanced high-tech type of fuse. We couldn't make it. We didn't have it. We got it from the Nazis and dropped it on Japan. And they were all communists. And so all of the secrets that we did acquire from the Nazis went straight over to the commies. And that's all a fact. That's all verifiable fact. And you said how they had to bury it in the snow and stuff. And people might pause and wonder, well, wonder why that was. Well, that's because they were committing high treason. And back in those days, we still had enough congressmen and senators that were patriots. And if this got exposed, this is high treason. I mean, people die. They swing from a tree limb. They get executed for these levels of treason. And so they had to keep it as secret as possible, even though it was so rampant at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, you go now into the Chicago machine, and then that's where Hillary Clinton comes in. She was not born in America. Trust me on that. She was not born in America. She was eventually brought in to the Chicago political machine and indoctrinated in all this radicalism. Okay, this is terrorism. She was the attorney that defended the Black Panthers.
That's right.
Okay, and then look at what she did when they were in Little Rock. You know.
Oh yeah.
You have to ask yourself, why does somebody want to go to Arkansas when they're living in a city like Chicago? And I'm not putting down Arkansas. Don't get me wrong. See, the Rose Law Firm actually was founded out of a firm in Kentucky, which moved down there, okay? And when you start examining the information I'm looking at, you're going to see the mind control and this infiltration operation hit a lot of the remote regions, okay? Farmland, Kansas.
That's right, Don. That's right. And in addition to that, if I may just jump in real quick again to highlight that Hillary Rotten Clinton, when she went down there Little Rock, it was as a spouse to Slick Willie, and they were setting up their political dynasty at the same time. That was already planned in advance. Slick Willie became governor of Arkansas at, 33 years old, which was unheard of for a guy at that young age to become a governor of a state. And that's because he was already being groomed as a bastard son of a Rockefeller to be in the position as a president down the road to continue to advance a globalist agenda with her right by his side. And so you have that in the mix as well for her.
Yeah. Then you hear these stories. He was a Rhodes Scholar.
that never graduated. But they never tell you that part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did they? That's where they teach you the technique of dipping cigars.
And twirling.
Yeah.
And also mastering semantics. It all depends on what the definition is, Don.
Yeah. Well, those are dark days in our history, but we're going through even darker days right now. And
that's true.
And it's time that people start waking up. Michael, I want to take just a short break and do sort of a musical interlude to give us an opportunity to wrap up our topic tonight. And I've been trying to exhort the listeners to participate in this process and wake up and start doing some research and networking with people and looking at the part that we all play in this, because we're not here to watch what's going on. We're here to create on this earth, and this song sort of reminds us of what we have to do.
Stand in the end, you'll still be you, one that's done all the things you set out to do. Things you want are real. You have you to complete, and there is no deal. A midget standing tall, and the giant beside him about to fall. Sense at all. Stand. Don't you know that you are free? Well, at least in your mind, if you want to be.
You know, Michael, when you consider the fact that Sylvester Stone, Sly in the Family Stone, recorded that song some 40 years ago, that message is still applicable today, isn't it?
It's spot on, Don. It's right on the money. That those lyrics are so appropriate for where we are right now. It's perfect.
And you know, he was quite a colorful individual
sure.
as a performer, and I had the chance to meet him at Manny's Music in New York City. Mm-hmm. We're on 47th and Broadway. And I got to talk to him for a while because I was waiting for an instrument, a case. I had purchased an instrument, and he was standing on the side singing. And I went over and turned on a piano and started playing, and we were jamming together for a while.
That's great.
And we were playing some of his oldies, and everybody came around. People were clapping their hands, and, you know, he was as real in person as he was on his recordings, and he was as real in his recordings as he was in person.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
He was a very, very sensitive individual. Now, you know, he grew up in the San Francisco area. The band was put together made up of musicians from San Francisco and Oakland. And that's this area that we're talking about.
Sure.
Where this nexus of infiltrators was. But he was an American. And
absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that song right there, lyrically, I mean, it's so spot on for exactly where we are right now.
Exactly. And that's why I wanted to play it. Sometimes the song says it. That's 40 years ago.
It's so appropriate for where we are right now, Don. It's, yep, God Bless Sly. That's an excellent song. It's got a great message. And we always have to keep that foremost in our minds, that we have to stand together here. Stand up for the truth. Stand up for what's right, whatever it takes. This is what makes us men. And these guys are all cowards. These traitors and everything, they operate from in the shadows because they're cowards, because they deny the truth, and they have to impose lies on everyone in order to manipulate conditions to advance their agenda, which is all evil. And so it does take courage to stand up for the truth, but that's what makes us men. And ultimately, you know, these guys are anti-God. These evil forces are anti-God, and they're doomed because they choose to be anti-God, and they choose to be anti-truth. And everything that clings to the truth in the long run always comes out on top. Even though in the short run, it may look like they're going to be the loser, but in the long run, they prevail every time. And so we have to always remember that.
Yes. Now, going back to this event in Tucson, we have to understand this. We have to recognize that this is a psychological operation, not just played on the American people, but the whole world, because they're putting the same garbage out on the BBC about the reasons this happened. You already explained it. Okay, it's a diversion. It's a tactic to get people's attention off of what's really going on, and at mm-hmm. the same time serve a purpose of continuing all this history that we've been talking about on the show tonight.
That's right.
Otherwise, it's all a waste of time on their part to have it fall apart, to have the truth be revealed. But the truth is being revealed. Now, why is that happening? Why do you think the truth is being revealed right now? What do you think's behind that?
Well, Don, ultimately, anytime the truth is manifesting, you know, it's God activity. That's just how it is. I mean, we're all messengers, but the truth itself is God activity, and they can't stop it. They can stop messengers, but they'll never stop the truth. The truth is like a buoy. You can try to suppress it under the surface of the water, but as soon as you let go, it buoys right back up to the surface. It will always reveal itself because you can't kill the truth. Omar Khayyam, the great Persian from antiquity, truth stands the test of time, but lies are soon exposed. So over time, all the lies, no matter how many they keep sending out, it will always die. It will not be able to sustain itself because it's a lie. But the truth, no matter how many times you try to suppress it, it keeps emerging. It keeps surfacing. You can't kill it. And that's exactly what's going on here. It's God activity because, Don, as we covered quite a while back, everybody's talking about the New World Order, which is the old world order, trying to be imposed upon us Americans and the rest of the world, get us back into a total dark ages. And but there's God's New World Order, which is peace, harmony, prosperity for everybody, including the earth itself, for all animals, all creatures. No more bloodshed, no more carnivores. Everything will be at peace. That's the will of the Almighty. That's how it started here. That's how it's going to end here. And that's what we're seeing right now as the will of God is manifesting as he advances his new world order. And I used to cover with you, Don, in the past how the founding fathers were caught up with the new world order of the good Lord, God's activity. That's what they were keen on. That's what they tried to help establish through the United States. That was the original intent of the United States, even though there was bickering and fighting and there was mistakes being made with slavery and the maltreatment of indigenous people. But nonetheless, these men were pulling down an ideal of individual freedoms to a European people that never knew such a thing because they were all under the slavery of monarchs. And so God's New World Order's ultimate individual freedom and liberties, but at the same time, spiritual advancement. Man can never really have true freedom and individual liberties if he's not truly spiritually advanced. And we can see that all around us. The Americans thought they were free, and they still think they are today. The Americans thought they were the smartest in the world, and many still do today. But look what's happening to us because spiritually we became bankrupt as a nation. And that's why the dark clouds are hovering and looming gloomily over us. But once we get our spiritual act together, then physically everything else will come back together for us as well. And the United States will be blessed greatly, as well as the rest of the world. And God's New World Order activity will prevail.
Yes, well said. Going back, you know, I was looking for the name of that school, and I have it, and I'll bring it on. I'll bring it out, that information, on an upcoming show. But this is in reference to the role that Bernadine Dorn, who is a convicted terrorist from her activities with the Weather Underground organization, and William Ayers, I guess they're partners, are they not? He's a professor at the University of Illinois, and she's teaching law, even though she's a disbarred attorney. She's sitting on the board of the American Bar Association, the American Civil Liberties Union, which tells you a little bit about what their true agendas are.
Absolutely.
And she's an associate professor of law at Northwestern University.
Oh, she must work with Obama. He's a lawyer. Too.
Yeah. Or maybe she took the place of Mrs. No-Legged Mac Daddy when she had her law license revoked.
And so did Obama.
Yes.
That's correct.
Oh, it's, you know, how can you, I doubt that he has a law degree, okay? Especially a doctorate.
He's definitely not a constitutional lawyer, that's for sure.
Well, yeah. So this is why we don't see any of the college transcripts and the records.
That's right.
These are little trophies that they gave him to try to legitimize.
That's right, Don. To prop him up in the so the American people are oohed and wowed by him, just like with Slick Willie as a Rhodes Scholar. That's right.
In closing, I also want to point out that when you talk about Sarah Palin as a viable candidate for a political office, she comes from Alaska. I'm telling you, and this will be proven out, that the mind control subjects were sent almost like it was an invasion, or they were probably going through a lot of training or programming in the Alaska area. There are footprints in the snow, in the the frozen tundra up there. There are footprints that show that she's part of the same group. Her handler is Henry Kissinger.
Oh boy.
And when you see the photographs of her hugging Henry Kissinger and hugging Joseph Lieberman, and Jesse Jackson, and with one of the Rothschild daughters there, handing some kind of electronic device to Jesse Jackson. You have to ask yourself this: what kind of programming somebody goes through that all you need now is a little handheld device to sort of flip the switch.
Sure, Don. And of course, as a contender for president, with all the media exposure, with all the financial support going into her coffers there, obviously she's controlled by them. Otherwise, she would never be where she is right now politically.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, she's one of them. And of course, we don't want her as president. She's another phony, another usurper and deceiver that will betray the Americans, just like Obama bummed out all the Obama wannabes with hope and change. Mike, we just got to hope and hope for change. And Obama's going to he's going to bring us some kind of change, Mike. We just got to hope a whole lot. I mean, it's so absurd, so lame. When will the Americans catch on to this obvious charade?
Mm-hmm. Now, Bryce Taylor wrote about this type of mind control in her book, Thanks for the Memories. Her handler was Bob Hope, the comedian, the actor, the entertainer.
That is quite stunning, but
that's
surprising.
His boss was Henry Kissinger.
Jeez.
Okay, so this is just another programmed individual that they have put out in front of the public, just like the one we have in Washington. There's no difference.
That's correct.
There's no difference. They're equally programmed. One can function pretty well out in public, but she sounds pretty regular. If you don't have a teleprompter in front of these people, though, they can't think unless they're following a specific program.
That's the key.
Okay.
Get them away from the teleprompter and drill them with some questions, and you'll be able to ascertain right on the spot.
Yes,
that now, they're really empty on the inside.
The only thing that Sarah Palin has in common with the shooter in Texas, in Tucson, well, in Texas, too, if you want to go back to Fort Hood, because that was part of the Virginia Tech Blacksburg underground base mind control program there.
Absolutely.
And that guy was touted as a psychiatrist who was helping soldiers. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's right.
And that was another false flag event, you see?
Totally.
And I wrote about that and exposed there was this real estate web of corruption underneath all of it. And that's what's going on here. The same thing. See, if you want to take over a country without firing a shot, you steal their land and you do it criminal.
That's right. Absolutely.
And that was the reason for the alleged grandmother of the usurper in office right now, Madeleine Lee Payne Dunham. Her name on a ship list of alleged rescued concentration camp prisoners from a non-existent concentration camp in Italy was Magdalena Maduna. And her daughter, alleged to be Stanley Ann Dunham, was Sophia Maduna. And her namesake, Stanley Dunham or Stanley Armour Dunham. See, these are just made up names, folks. This
of
is
course,
what I'm trying to tell you.
We covered that right out of the gate when this Obama showed up on the scene. I mean, show me a woman named Stanley, naturally named Stanley at birth. Show me what?
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it just ain't going to happen.
And they tell everybody, well, the father wanted a son, so he, come on, give me a break.
I mean, you know, Don, we got to have the boots on all the time when we listen to the news because they shovel it heavy and thick.
Yeah.
Heavy and thick.
Well, Michael, I appreciate your willingness to discuss all this stuff and the amount of, you know, work that you've done in making yourself apprised of all this information, because it's not every guest that I have on the show that's that well-rounded. And I appreciate you being on Evident Footprints. And I know you're going to be on again this month, and I don't have my schedule up here, but if you give me a moment, I'll pull it up, unless you know the date offhand.
Don, I think it's the 25th. While you're checking that, can we wrap up with a little more sense of humor and tell everybody while they check this out to put the boots on, because it's going to be flinging thick and heavy. Now, Have a listen to this humor right here.
Okay.
We all come here to represent our constituents. Our respect for each other is founded in our respect for the people that we represent.
Do you buy that?
Celebrate the 50th anniversary of the inauguration of John F. Kennedy as President of the United States.
And I'm just going to...
State of the Union address, right from here, from this dais. President Kennedy said to the Congress, "The Constitution makes us all trustees of the American people, custodians of the American heritage."
Get the boots on.
"Today, as we take the oath of office to support and defend our Constitution, we do so as trustees of America's best hopes and custodians of America's highest values."
Okay, did you hear that?
She said to to defend our Constitution. She means defile, doesn't she?
You got it, pal. I mean, let's get the boots on for that witch. I mean, you know, it reminds me, I always, when I hear that kind of crap, I think of the scene in National Lampoon's Animal House when Dean Wormer's chewing out that those frat guys in that room. Mm-hmm. And as he's getting into it, all of a sudden you hear everybody coughing. And boy, if I want to do that every time I hear these traitors give us that garbage spiel of how we're representing the people and the sacred honor and trust. What? That lady should be hanging from a tree limb.
There's right a video that came out of her handing over the gavel speaker to John Boehner. And as she says, "God bless you," and she turns around and he clubs her over the head. Of course, you know, it's fictional, but it's pretty funny, actually.
Yes, it is. It's something we all wish happened.
Exactly. Well, Michael, I want to thank you for being on the show. You are going to be on again on Tuesday, the 25th of January. So I look forward to that show.
And I will, too.
Let's see what transpires in the interim. Anyway, I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints, and I wish you a good night.
God bless, Don. Thanks for inviting me. It's always fun.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our special guest, Michael Anthony. Check out Michael's private stock. Those are his herbal supplements. They're on my website, directlightproductions.com. Just click on sponsors, then click on Michael Anthony. You won't be sorry you did. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world and over at BBS Radio. Tonight, I want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.